What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Tuesday edition of the show. It's Takes on Takes Tuesday, and we always have fun on these episodes. Kyle, welcome.
Thank you. I spent my night last night working on Baby Yoda memes for Draft Dudes, and very happy with the end result.
I watched that, enjoyed it. I don't know where this Baby Yoda comes from. I see him all over my timeline.
It's from The Mandalorian, which is the new Star Wars-themed episodic series via Disney Plus, the new Disney streaming service.
Okay. Do you have this Disney Plus?
I don't have time for that shit. No.
Yeah, I don't either. Maybe somebody could tell us what the appeal is there, but I see this little guy all the time. He's cute. But you know, well, I'm not plugged in.
I know the appeal is you get like, there are a lot of Disney proprietary, shows that are exclusive to Disney Plus. And then there's constant like on demand streaming of every Disney movie and every Disney series and every, like the, all the Marvel movies, which are now technically owned by Disney, and like everything, because Disney owns everything, right? Like The Simpsons is on there. It's like Disney's entire monopoly on television and movies and entertainment is available at the touch of a button. That's the appeal to Disney.
All of it's there.
From what I understand, yes.
Yeah. Okay. I don't.
And they have new programming that's exclusive just to the service. Like The Mandalorian.
I just watch football, man.
I just watch some.
It's great for the people that are interested in that. There's some Disney real freaks out there. I have some friends, man, just Disney to the bone. They go multiple times a year. You know, they buy everything they can Disney. These people are out there, and good for them if that's what they enjoy. And I'm sure this is the mecca, you know, like when NFL Network launched or something like that, or Game Pass for us. But
Red Zone Channel. Yeah, I remember the first time I saw Red Zone Channel. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
It is good. I only go to it though for me when the Bills are over, and you know, I can't just have that on. So I don't know. I got to focus on one game. You know, you can't just show me bits and pieces.
I think it's good for, like you said, if your team's not on.
Yeah.
I enjoy from a Sunday perspective, if I get to watch as a fan, That's what I would do.
You get like your game's over and there's like six games that are sort of close at the end, you know, over to Red Zone and you can see all the stupid things that teams do at the end of games.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we, Kyle? Takes on Takes Tuesday. However many
get it. Get into the takes.
75 of these, 100. Where are we at? A lot.
I think we're at like 70.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool.
It's about almost a year and a half worth of Takes on Takes every Tuesday.
All right, here we go. You want this one or you want the second one?
Yeah, give it to me.
All right. From Cameron, Cameron Spencer says, although LSU, Clemson, and Minnesota all roster a legitimate wide receiver prospect for the 2020 draft class, each team also features an even better, more promising wide receiver prospect who won't be eligible until 2021.
All right. So to be clear, we're talking about Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase at LSU. We're talking about T. Higgins and Justin Ross at Clemson. We're talking about Tyler Johnson and Rashad Bateman at Minnesota. I think this is a very strong take because he didn't put numbers on it. Right. Like you start throwing top 10 or first round.
That's what
it's like. Well, you know, maybe pump the brakes a little bit. But to say viable, legitimate wide receiver prospects that will most definitely be on NFL rosters next year, assuming some of these guys declare, Justin Jefferson, I think, is a top 75 type player. T. Higgins is a top 50 type player. Tyler Johnson, for me, is probably going to be a top 75, top 100. I know that's like real hot takey right now because Tyler Johnson's super polarizing. But I would agree that Ja'Marr Chase is better, Justin Ross is better, and Rashad Bateman's better right now.
Yeah.
I think it's a good take.
I like it. I normally hate the like, oh, wait till next year type stuff. You know, just I think it's sometimes just short-sighted, but I agree.
Do you remember the pushback that we saw in September for the quote unquote wait till next year for Trevor Lawrence? That was fun.
Every year,
because he had like three games where he was playing super liberal with the ball, trying to figure out like what he could get away with.
Yeah, still and never lost a game.
Now he hasn't like thrown an interception since like the middle of October.
Yeah, I think it's funny. It's whether it's a player going through a tough stretch or a player that is slowly acclimating, whether it's as a rookie in the NFL or in college, we get so quick to pounce. You know, you've got to let it play out sometimes, man.
Yeah. Take from Vontel. Appreciate the love on the podcast, fellas. I enjoyed your conversation on my take last week so much, I want to throw out five more. So if you weren't familiar, Vontel brought us five schools and said, if you were a prospect, highly regarded prospect, and you had the opportunity to go to one of the following five schools for your college career, where would you go? Same scenario, five new schools, and this is an interesting bunch, Joe. You ready?
Yeah.
The schools are West Virginia Mountaineers, South Carolina Gamecocks, the Miami Hurricanes, the UCLA Bruins, and the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
All right, so for me, number one, clearly South Carolina on this list. Columbia is a great city. It's an SEC school. And for me, my number one thing is always about getting to the next level. So with that in mind, my number two is Miami. I would hate to play down there in that heat. I don't love it to be hot outside, but it's a school that consistently produces NFL talent. See, now this is where it gets hard for me at number three. Last is going to be UCLA for sure. Too weird of a scheme, both sides of the ball. I don't know that.
Come on, man. This is country roads here at three. Come on.
Is it?
Country roads.
I don't know. It's a toss up between West Virginia and Nebraska. Are there three, four? I went to West Virginia. They didn't sing that song. They're four.
No, man. You can't go play in Nebraska. What's the upside of playing in Nebraska besides the fact you're going to get your dick punched in by Ohio State, Wisconsin, Iowa, Penn State, and half the conference?
Because I get to play against those schools, and it's better for my draft status. And West Virginia, I went to a game at your stadium, and you didn't play Country Roads. And for that reason, I'm out.
You're a clown. Listen, I don't even think West Virginia would be one for me. You're sitting here saying mine. I think Miami would be one for me.
Why, though?
Why?
I mean, it's two for me. What puts it one for you?
It's the blend of the talent pool that team is always going to be able to pull from as far as being in South Florida from a recruiting perspective. They have talent. They're just terribly coached. Right? Like, let's be honest.
They always are, though. What are we doing here?
The location is helpful, right? In South Florida being at the beach. I'm a big beach guy.
Yeah, you're more into that than me, for sure.
But I would go ahead and I would agree with you that UCLA is at the bottom of my list, even though they're in LA and kind of West Coast and the lifestyle. And it's just LA way too congested. You know, that's too much the other way. South Carolina is probably two because they're in the SEC, opportunity to play in the SEC. West Virginia's three for me. Nebraska's four. UCLA's five.
All right. So we were pretty close.
Yeah.
All right. Next one here comes from Orville Redenbacher. Ron Rivera should not be fired. At the end of this year, he will have coached 24 games in 2 years with an injured or incompetent quarterback. There are not many strong candidates available to replace him. The grass is not always greener on the other side.
I feel like this is a good take, and I feel like you would agree with this take, but I generally agree. Carolina has had some extenuating circumstances from a personnel perspective that's made it very difficult for them to find sustained success in each of the last 2 years. And we always talk about, you're going to fire Ron. Who are you going to go out and hire that's better than Ron Rivera? And I don't think Carolina has a very easy answer.
Yeah, man, I like Ron. He's proven you can win. You can win with him. From 13 to 15, they won the NFC South 3 consecutive years. He's made the playoffs in 4 of the last 6 seasons. He's been to the Super Bowl. What are you going to do? You're going to go hire Dave Tube? I say that every time, right? Like, Dave Tube's always that guy I have in my back pocket. But I don't know, man. You see some really crappy hires out there. You know you got a guy you can win in Rivera. And I'm like, not making excuses, but, like, seriously, the last 2 years with all the injuries, particularly at quarterback, he can't be defined by that. His tenure can't end on that. So you can go hire Eric Bieniemy. Give me Ron. If Ron Rivera gets fired as head coach of the Carolina Panthers, somebody should want to hire him to be their head coach.
Yep. I think you'd get more teams that would want to hire him, and he would be number one on a lot of vacant spots.
It's not the John Harbaugh thing. Remember, like, last year, midway through the season, it was like, fire Harbaugh, and we're like, this is a ridiculous conversation. It's not that, but it's a little less, you know, but similar type thing where what are we really talking about? One of the most respected guys in the league. You can win with Ron Rivera. Have you had a long day at work, a tough day at school, or are you still stuck at the office? Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app. Choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered right to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you might find something new to eat as well. With door-to-door delivery in 50 states and Canada, order from your local go-tos or choose from your national favorite restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code LOCKEDON. Don't forget promo code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order from DoorDash.
All right. You ready?
I am ready.
This is from Hator. The Broncos should have kept Bradley Roby instead of letting him walk. Last night was just another example. Off topic, I think Roby was a reach at the time in the 2014 draft.
Sort of always liked Bradley Roby. He was an end of the first round player, like pick 31. So he wasn't like a premium high pick. But I think he's been talented. You know, he was kind of tied up behind. They had Aqib Talib and Chris Harris for a while there in Denver. And he was kind of the slot guy and didn't get a ton of opportunity. He got a reasonable amount of opportunity, but he wasn't always a starter. I think he's always been a pretty good player. I think he's having maybe his best season right now. He signed like a 1-year, $10 million prove it deal, if I'm not mistaken, with Houston. You know, he's still a young player. He's 27. He'll be 28 going into this contract year. So I'm sure he's geared up to get, you know, the most lucrative payday of his life. And he's playing well for Houston, and Houston needs it. You know, they had a couple DBs leave in the offseason, and they brought in Roby. And I think he's been an important player for them. I like him. I started talking about Roby. I forgot what the take was here. The Broncos should have kept Roby instead of letting him walk. Sure, I think he's a good player, a good young player that you should keep around. I think Denver's defense is good. I don't know that he's going to be the difference in that team having a winning record or a losing record, but I think he's a good player, and they shouldn't have let him walk. You shouldn't let your good players that you draft walk in the first round, particularly. All right, next one here comes from Bull Bittler, who says, the combination of Daniel Jones and Chase Young is better than the combination of Josh Allen, pass rusher Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow.
Now, be honest with everybody.
Okay.
You got fess up here.
Oh, really, Kyle? Really?
How many times did you read this tape trying to figure out what Bullitt's trying to say?
452?
So what Bull is suggesting is that the Giants at six, instead of drafting Daniel Jones, could have elected to draft Josh Allen and then draft Joe Burrow with the first pick this year if they had Eli Manning starting the entire year, which God bless the Giants if they had to live through another year of Eli Manning. It's been challenging enough with Daniel Jones, but Bull is saying Daniel Jones plus Chase Young is a better net for the Giants for their each of their first two first-round draft picks from last year and this upcoming year versus getting Josh Allen and the quarterback next year in Joe Burrow. I think the best overall prospect on this list is Chase Young. So I think that is a nice staple of this argument. Josh Allen's had a really nice year in Jacksonville too. So I don't think that that should be overlooked. The question is, do you think the jump from or the drop from Chase Young to Josh Allen is greater than the drop from Joe Burrow to Daniel Jones, or do you feel like Daniel Jones is a better player? I will have coveted Joe Burrow greater than Daniel Jones, and I think that drop-off, when I had Josh Allen as a top 10 player, is enough for me to disagree with Bull on this take. I'd be interested in your opinion, though.
Well, to me, I mean, I think it's important to mention all four of these pieces, but to me, it comes back to the quarterbacks. And I think the gap between Daniel Jones and Joe Burrow is significant enough for me to say, yeah, I'll take the B-minus version of Chase Young or the C-plus version even to get the better quarterback. And I think
very disrespectful to Josh Allen, by the way.
No, I love Josh Allen. He had a top 10 grade for me. I like him. He's been a good player. But I think they're, you know, Chase Young's a really elite special player. And I mean, there's a gap there, but we're talking quarterback with a bigger gap. And so give me Joe Burrow.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. This one's for you, right?
Yep.
From Nolan. Juan Thornhill has been the best safety of the 2019 class, and with the Honey Badger as part of the most underrated safety duo in the league, huge reason that Kansas City's defense has improved this year.
I think there's a good chance that Juan Thornhill is the best safety from this class right now. Darnell Savage in Green Bay would probably like to have a word on the conversation. Taylor Rapp's doing some good things for the Rams. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Marquise Blair. But, you know, Juan Thornhill's played by far the most snaps of any of the players that I just mentioned, and really like what he's doing across the board in terms of in coverage. They're letting him pressure a little bit. He's got to tackle better. He's not been a good tackler this year. That's been a little bit of an issue. But yeah, I think he's definitely in that conversation in the top tiers of safeties from this class, maybe number one. Is this an underrated safety duo? I mean, I think most people think it's a good safety duo. And I think the personnel upgrades have happened across the board for Kansas City on defense. They've been able to overcome some injuries as well this year, but I think it's one of the better, you know, at least upper half of the league safety duos, and certainly has a lot of upside as Juan Thornhill continues to grow and develop as a player. From Charlie Gross here, he says, Chris Ballard should make drafting a franchise quarterback their top priority in the draft this year. Jacoby Brissett is a nice player, but he isn't elite, and nothing matters more than an elite quarterback in the NFL.
Should they make drafting a franchise quarterback their top priority? Probably. Will they actually do that? No, I don't think they will. I think they've liked a lot of what they've seen from Jacoby Brissett, but I agree with Charlie that he, while a nice player, I think he's a nice enough player to kind of keep you lingering in quarterback purgatory, where I don't think the ceiling is enough to really take this team to the next level, and you'd have to catch lightning in a bottle and get everything going right and catch your breaks. And you've seen Indianapolis as a team that, Joe, no less than 4 weeks ago, was looking like a potential AFC South division winner, slide now to 6-6, and they're getting the third best quarterback play in the division behind the Tennessee Titans, who have surpassed them in the standings, and the Houston Texans. So I don't think we should be putting Tennessee up to say, you know, their long-term quarterback issues are resolved because they have Ryan Tannehill. Like, Tannehill's playing some of the best football of his career, but is he long-term answer? I don't know. But the Colts, as they start looking ahead and start projecting, you know, our roster versus the rest of the division and the opportunities that we're going to have with this core to win a championship, I think they're on the clock a little bit, but I think they can be selective as far as when to strike. I don't think they have to sell the farm to go up and get a quarterback this year, because I don't think they're – I think Chris Ballard has done a nice job balancing the books, balancing the assets to make sure that they have more long-term assets, surplus of draft picks. Like, they're in a really good spot, and they shouldn't just blow their load to go get a quarterback right now because it's now or never. Hope that makes sense. Joe, worst take of the year?
Maybe. Oh.
This might be the worst take of the year.
Yeah.
Clay Travis was turned in by Dennis SK. And Clay said the Ohio State secondary isn't good, has been covered up by an elite pass rush. Curious how they'll hold up in playoff against Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence.
No. I mean, that's just not a good take. That's lazy, too, to just think it's been covered up by an elite pass rush. Like, Jeffrey Okuda is not a top 10 caliber prospect. Sean Wade's not first round caliber prospect. Fuller and Damon Arnett, at least, you know, players that are worthy of a mid round pick. They always recruit well and have good young players. No, like, that's to say it's not good is if the Ohio State secondary isn't good, then there isn't a good secondary in college football.
Correct.
It's just bad. It's just bad. It's just bad.
I think Arnett's a top 100 player. So you've got two outside corners that are top 100 picks, and Sean Wade in the nickel, who is probably a top 40 player.
Yeah, it's good secondary. Let's see here. That's a repeat. All right, so no, this is not a repeat. Ghost says the LSU receivers. Excuse me, LSU has the best receiver in college football in Ja'Marr Chase and the best wide receiver core in the nation with Chase, Jefferson, and Marshall.
Mm. If you feel like Ja'Marr Chase is 2021's wide receiver one, I see why you feel that way.
Well, Alabama's the other team, right? Like, there's no other team that's in the tier.
Not that has three.
So
Clemson with Justin Ross and T. Higgins is pretty devastating combo, 1-2 punch. But we're talking best wide receiver core, which is the entire body of work.
So Judy or Chase?
I think Chase is better than Judy.
Okay, so Ruggs or Jefferson?
Ruggs.
Waddle or Marshall?
Waddle.
Oh, by the way, we still have Devonta Smith.
Yeah, I think it's Alabama this year.
Right.
But
right, even if Ja'Marr Chase is the best one of all of those seven players.
Yep. Yeah, but I think you'll go into next year and LSU will have the 2020 college football season best wide receiver core.
Yeah.
Josh, is the American Athletic Conference a better conference than the Atlantic Coast Conference? I think so.
Not a chance. This is a bad take. You're not going to convince me. The following teams that I'm about to list are 4-8 or worse. South Florida, East Carolina, UConn, Tulsa, Houston. You're not going to convince me that a conference with those teams at 4-8 is better than the ACC. I know that the AAC has more teams in the top 25, Cincinnati, Memphis, and Navy, but I'll still tell you that the top three teams in the ACC are better if you go with Clemson, Virginia, and you can call it Wake Forest or Virginia Tech is the next team. The ACC is a bad Power 5 conference, but it is way better than the AAC, top to bottom. Any disagreements there, Mr. Krabs?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right, so we have a tattle take here, turned in by JJ. The take comes from Tyron Mathieu. He's making a couple appearances on today's show. This one spoke to me a little bit in a lot of different ways.
Oh, man, I've been trying not to laugh since I first saw it about 30 seconds ago.
Okay, so Tyron Mathieu says, I see dead possums every day on the road driving home. Wish I could pick him up and give him a proper burial. Send tweet.
He's not wrong, though. Every time I see something on the side of the road, I'm like, oh, poor thing.
I know why you feel that way, and you can choose to share that openly or not.
Wait, what's this?
Mr. Bruce and Groundhog, sir.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was probably 10. I got in my dad's pickup truck. We're going down the street to go get a haircut. And it's about a five-minute drive. It's not far at all. And you just get on one road. It was like suburbs, PA, a lot of cornfields and stuff like that. About an hour north of Amish country. And
you drove an hour for a haircut?
No, I'm saying we are an hour. Oh, we okay. lived an hour north right. of Amish country. It was like a five-minute drive down the road.
I'm fascinated by Central PA, by the way, as you know. So
yeah, you got a taste of Amish country back in May. It was beautiful. A fun time.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing like it.
Nothing.
So we're coasting down the road and I'm like a big animal lover. It doesn't matter what they are, if it's got four legs or two legs. You know, you get more than four, I get a little weird. So we're driving down the road and this skinny little groundhog comes running down the side of the shoulder of the road. And my dad grew up Central PA, and you know, he has some family that lives on farms and stuff. So, you know, farmers, they see groundhogs and they just see red, right? Because they dig holes in your field and then they ruin your farm equipment and it's really expensive. So they're varmints and nuisance animals and da, 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 da. So my dad's just casually one arm in the steering wheel. And he just kind of lets that hand drift off to the right. And that wheel goes off to the right. And we just casually drift over. And this thing looks like a weasel or a ferret. You know, it's not one of those big, fat, ugly ones. He's young and spry and had his whole life ahead of him. And whoop-boom. I just ran that sumbitch right over. And I cried. I was so devastated, and my dad's just laughing at me. We pull the steering wheel back over, and we go get a haircut. And we pull up, and I'm trying to not cry. And, like, I couldn't look out the window on the way home because I knew he was going to be there on the side of the road.
You called him a nuisance animal?
Yeah.
He did. It's okay, son. Nuisance animal.
Yeah. They're varmints. They're destructive. That's what he said.
I used to work a job that required me to drive home around 12:31 a.m. In college, you know, retail type job. And man, I took out a couple possums a week. I never meant to do it. But they're just everywhere in, you know, where I live in the Charlotte area. So
yeah,
I don't know.
So you felt that one a lot.
I felt that one. I feel bad about it. I didn't like enjoy taking out possums, but all of a sudden you're just driving in the middle of the night and you hear, ba-doom, you know, there's another one, you know, I worked that job for a while. So, I'm responsible for many possums and I feel bad about it. You know,
I want to be clear anymore. About that too. We're sitting here laughing, telling this story about the groundhog, but like, I would never do what my dad did. My dad, I was mortified, and I've had a thankfully very lucky run here where I have not claimed lives on the road of critters. I probably haven't hit an animal driving my car, and it's been over 10 years, and I'm going to knock on wood. Y'all heard it because watch, I said that and I'm totally going to tag like a possum, or we got a ton of raccoons out here. We have a lot of foxes out here in really? Delaware, Joe. Oh. Yeah. I saw a fox yesterday in the morning.
Oh, I've never seen a wild fox, but
Come on up.
Yeah, no, I've never seen one. One thing people need to know if they're ever in a car with Kyle Krabs in the evening, very concerned about the deer.
Brother.
Kyle will be like, hey, man, watch out for deer without fail every time you ever drive with them when it's a little bit dark. What a finish to the pod today, man.
Yeah, man. Who knew you were going to just come for the football take, stay for Disney Plus and talking about roadkill for the last 5 minutes. Yeah. that's never know what you're going to get. Joe, we're due for a December mock draft. When do you want to do that?
Ooh. Soon.
Soon. Let's just say soon. We're not going to give you a firm commit, but you should hit subscribe on the podcast and come back and see if we do it tomorrow. I'm Kyle Krabs with Joe Marino. Thanks as always for listening to the Draft Dudes podcast.